You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How about the Cowboys?
And the Packers are piling it on the Cowboys.
This is one of my most surprises since I've been involved in sport, period.
The Rich Eisen Show.
This game is over. Oh, the Detroit Lions have won it.
We're playing next Sunday back here at home.
Yeah. Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host, Chris Long. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. You're on hold. Stay on hold. We're going to take every single one of these phone calls before we get out of Dodge in hour number three. As soon as we're done, this show re-airs on the Roku channel, as it does every single day, the Roku channel. 210 is specific to us. We're every day between 12 and 3 Eastern, then re-air up until the next live show. And then there's also our podcast, all 3 hours available through the Cumulus Podcast Network, the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, also home to Overreaction Monday, which Chris Brockman and I are going to be recording first thing Tuesday morning so we can get all 6 Super Wild Card Weekend games in. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask with What the Football on Tuesday as well. We appreciate everybody giving any of those shows a follow, as they now say, wherever you get your podcasts. Again, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Long joined us in hour number one. We're hugging it out with TJ Jefferson all show long, right from the very beginning when we all got up from our chairs and hugged it out. I meant it. Clearly, by the face of Chris Brockman, he meant it. Mike Del Tufo was cackling seriously like he just caught, like, the world's largest tuna. You know what I mean?
The reason he came to work here today was to heckle me,
Rich. It seems like it.
You understand that?
But joining us right now is a great friend of the program and a great friend in general, and his MMQB is chock full of information you don't want to miss, certainly coming off of 4 dynamic games over the weekend with so much to discuss. Albert Breer back here in the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Albert?
Congratulations, Rich, and thank you for the cooling off period before you brought me on again.
Yeah, it's been a full, it's been about 6 days, and I see, you know, you and I talk, we're good, but how are you handling it, Albert? How are you handling a world in which the University of Michigan football program are champions of the West, North, South, and East?
Yeah.
How are you handling it?
Better than
it?
I thought I would.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I will say, shout out to my cousin Nick for sending along lots of pictures from the stadium. He's like you, a U of M grad.
Okay.
And my dad, I think you know this about me. I'm sort of the black sheep in my family. So
that's odd.
I heard it from a lot of different angles last week. But I'm handling it better than I thought I would. And I think part of it is it appears that my school's donors have reacted in a positive way to all of this.
Yes,
and there's some new financial pipelines that have opened up now. Yeah. And we have quite a few guys coming back.
Yeah. The collective was active. There's a bunch of guys that are sticking around, but those are for different times. Let's just jump into, and then we'll get to Harbaugh in a second, because Dallas got curb stomped. They got thumped by Green Bay, and, you know, Jerry Jones, I don't think was thinking at all that result was possible, and thus he would have an answer about Mike McCarthy's future. But what about a day later, do you think, about that situation, Albert?
Yeah, I think just having talked to some people there this morning and into this afternoon, Rich, I think, like, the feeling is Jerry's going to take a few days and assess all of this and let the coaches go through the normal stuff at the end of the season, exit interviews with players and those sorts of things. I heard consistently, and this is, I mean, going back 6-7 weeks, like, the Cowboys really have to win a playoff game for people there to be safe. And I think it was with the assumption that they were good enough where that was probably going to happen. And so for this to go so far in the other direction, I mean, I don't know if it even affects just Mike, you know, like there was a feeling that part of this was because, you know, Stephen Jones liked Dan Quinn so much that they may elevate him just in an effort to not lose him to Seattle or the Chargers. After an afternoon like that, do you look at it and say, no, we're going to look everywhere now, you know, and maybe we do take a big swing on a Bill Belichick or a Jim Harbaugh or a Mike Vrabel. I think all things are on the table now. And look, I think both these things can be true, right? Like that on one hand, Mike McCarthy on balance doesn't deserve to be fired. He's won 12 games 3 years in a row. They've been third, first, and first in scoring in those 3 years. But on the other hand, Jerry Jones is 82. That roster has got some older pieces like Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and Marcus Lawrence. And you wouldn't be able to blame a guy of his age with that roster for acting with some urgency, which I think could be the conclusion of all of this after, you know, again, a little bit of a cooling off period here for everybody.
Well, I mean, you got to wonder again, Parcells gets hired in 2003. Yep. And you know, that comes off of 3 years of Campo, two of Gailey. And so you cannot compare the success that Mike McCarthy has had in terms of regular season wins. He did win a playoff game last year, ended Tom Brady's professional playing career, as we wound up finding out later on. You can't compare these last 3 years in terms of the success, including McCarthy's play calling this year. Smashing success regular season to the 5 years of Campo / Gailey. But I'm just wondering, is there any, what would the appetite be for Jerry to take that big swing on the another Bill with the same resume, you know, a similar resume here?
Well, I think you have to, if you want to go back and look at the Parcells thing, right? Because that could be instructive, and I'm glad you brought that up. Like, there are two reasons why Jerry did that in 2003. Number one, he was embarrassed with what his team had become and going 5-11 3 years in a row under Dave Campo. So that was number one. And then, you know, number two, he needed to regain credibility because he was looking to build a stadium. So are those conditions in place now where he's embarrassed by the loss and he needs to regain credibility? I don't know that it's like it was then, but then you add his age into it and maybe that, you know, sort of, you know, amps things up a little. And, you know, I think the availability of Belichick is really fascinating. I had somebody yesterday who would know tell me that Bill has built a really strong relationship with the Joneses over the last few years, and that this has happened through football business, through league meetings, and that Stephen and Jerry really have a good rapport with Bill now. And, you know, the interesting thing about their setup is a lot of people would say, well, you know, Bill would never go there because the owner interferes and, you know, this and that. Is that really true, though? I mean, everybody complains about Jerry, the GM. Do they not have one of the most talented rosters in the league year in and year out? And I look at like the coaches, and the coaches have been empowered there too. Now, I'm not saying they're what Bill was in New England, but I mean, Jason Garrett had a lot of say in the way those teams were put together when he was there. And I would say Mike McCarthy has too, in filling out his staff and being able to spend on certain things and being able to bring in veteran players. And so I don't know, man. Like, I look at like what Bill said. You can go back to October and look at the press conference when the Patriots played the Cowboys. But out of nowhere, Bill all of a sudden started saying all this really flowery, nice stuff about Jerry and Stephen Jones. And I just think there's enough there for us all to keep our eye on it. And I mean, God, as far as being good for business, Rich.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Belichick and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Back in the NFC East, taking on the Giants twice and the Eagles twice and the new Washington Commanders situation twice. And then obviously, though, it would it make a fit where he doesn't want to go to a spot where he's got to break in a new quarterback, right? Or he's got to go to a spot where he can't completely, you know, have to remake a roster, right? Usually that's what happens when you're firing a coach, is things just totally completely flat. I'm just seeing if there's any there from Bill's
point. I would say, Rich, like, I think like this for the same reasons, like the Chargers would make sense for Jim Harbaugh because they're so ready to win right now. And the Cowboys would make sense for Bill. And, you know, as far as just augmenting your roster, I mean, I can remember my old buddy, Calvin Watkins, who I covered the Cowboys with a million years ago. I asked a player once, like, if a guy from another team, we had him on a conference call, all of us who were on the beat at the time. And I asked him, like, you know, would you ever want to play for the Cowboys? And Calvin stopped me after the conference call was over, looked me in the eyes and said, Albert, don't ever ask that question again. Everyone wants to play for the Cowboys. So to just have that like ability to draw people into, as far as building with urgency, and when it's just a 3 or 4 year thing, Bill would certainly have that there too. Now, I think Atlanta is going to be in the mix for Bill as well. It's been well documented over the last couple of weeks. And Atlanta has a lot of things to like too. But I do think the Dallas job opening, if it does in the next few days, changes the dynamic for a number of different guys. And, you know, I certainly think Bill Belichick's on that list. I'd throw Mike Vrabel on that list as well.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you know about Harbaugh being out here in Los Angeles and what's going on there? And who else might be interested?
This was what was interesting to me. You know, like, and I've said this a few different times. Like I think that there are two things the Chargers are really sensitive about, right? They're sensitive about the perception that they're cheap, and they're sensitive about perception that they're not relevant in LA. And in one fell swoop, Jim Harbaugh would address both those things, right? Like you immediately address them by hiring Jim Harbaugh. Like I said, the roster is in place. You've got the quarterback, and you know, there are some similarities to what he walked into in San Francisco. You know, like, again, like all, the only difference being that, you know, like the quarterback isn't a reclamation project the way Alex Smith was in 2011. I think one thing that not a lot of people are talking about that's really important here. I think the Chargers are willing to pay Jim Harbaugh. Are they willing to pay his coordinators? Like if they want to bring Jesse Minter from Michigan, are they willing to pay him $3 or $4 million a year? Are they willing to pay sports science people? Are they willing to invest back into what Jim Harbaugh wants to bring? Are they willing to lean far enough into Jim Harbaugh to bring the entire total program, all the things he needs to win? And then are they willing to say, we're going to take a step back and let you run the show, Jim? Because we know the way things went with Jim and ownership in San Francisco, and I'm sure that's going to be something Jim's going to want answers on. So a lot of people have talked about the money, and the money is always a factor in these things. There's no question about it. But I just think the infrastructure and the rapport with ownership are two things that people aren't looking at that would be deciding factors, because I don't think he's averse to the idea of going back to Michigan. I think the Raiders have some appeal to him, or would have some appeal to him, especially if, you know, his buddy Ed Dodds gets the general manager job there. So clearly he's going to have some options. And, you know, I think it's on the Chargers now to prove again that they're willing to put what he wants around him, and then ownership is willing to really let him run the show.
I keep thinking what could add to this quarterback or this coaching carousel that would have it completely go in another spin off its axis moment, because it's been so unprecedented, and it would be Mike Tomlin joining it. Is that possible at all, Albert, as we get set for Steelers and Buffalo?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens in the next few hours. I've felt like all along, like they don't, like, I don't think he'll quit. And I don't think they're going to fire him. And I felt that way even when they weren't playing well. But he's been there for 17 years. And I just wonder what would happen if Carolina called or if Washington called. And remember, the owners there, David Tepper and Josh Harris, were minority owners in the Steelers before they bought their teams. So they have relationships with the Rooneys. So either of those guys could very easily pick up the phone and say, like, hey, I'm just calling to see if this is a possibility. And does that like provoke the conversation? Like, hey, is it time? Again, 17 years is a long time. That's 2 years longer than Bill Cowher was in Pittsburgh. And so that's a scenario where I could see it happening. Now, I don't know personally whether or not Mike is burned out at all. It's possible that has creeped in, you know, whatever.
I could tell you this because I saw him. I mean, if you're talking about burned out on coaching, the answer is 1,000,000% no.
Yeah, I don't think so either. People have talked about that. I don't think so either.
No way. No. I did not get the sense at all, or on Pittsburgh either. I might add.
I don't know, Rich. I don't know that I've met anybody who's as passionate about coaching as Mike is. I mean, it's just
same guy.
And it's little things too. Like, you hear amazing stories about him. Like, this is incredible. Like, this is one way that he is able to stay in one place for so long, and his message never goes stale. When he goes to pro days, you know, he used to do this with Kevin Colbert and obviously Omar Khan more recently, their new general manager. when he walks into a Clemson or an Ohio State or a Georgia or a Michigan or wherever else, one of the first things he'll do is like, bring me to your social media manager. And the reason he does that is because he knows that social media manager knows what kids are looking at and knows what's resonating with kids. Hmm. And so he goes in and he meets with those people. And a lot of cases, you know, this at these colleges, the kid's probably 20, 22 years old, yeah. You know, and he'll go and he'll sit down with these people and he'll like want to learn from them. Like, okay, like what is resonating with the kids? What are you guys putting out there that is helping you recruit? What are you putting out there that your kid, that your current players want to have out there? It's just, I mean, to me, like there's so much humility in that, you know what I mean? Like in that, like here a guy is like a Super Bowl champion, NFL head coach, and he's willing to go get advice from a 21-year-old on how he should be relating with his players. I just think like, and I tell that story because somebody who's that into the details, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's somebody who's truly, truly passionate about the job itself. And it goes well beyond just, you know, the X's and O's and being able to coach, you know, on game day.
Great stuff in your MMQB on Jordan Love. I want to give you the floor. What'd you learn about what he did to Dallas yesterday?
It was so cool. It was so cool. Cause you know, I like Matt LaFleur called him, I don't think I can swear here, but an effing stud, you know?
Right.
And it was sort of like, and I'm sure you've been in these situations where you're talking to somebody and you've been on the record the whole time, but then at the end they say something offhand. So I text Matt and I say, hey, I just want to make sure you're okay with me using that. He's like, don't mind at all.
Yeah, right. He doesn't mind at all. Cause he is that, I mean, yeah. Unreal yeah. How he's looked.
So This is a good story. So so you remember the play to Dontavian Wicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's the play to Dontavian Wicks where he makes that throw where he couldn't step into it and just throws it right down Main Street for the touchdown. Matt told me that Jordan, like he asked before Jordan, give me a play. And that was the play that Jordan gave him. And they hadn't expected it, but Dan Quinn had a zero blitz called and Jordan, in the moment with whatever, with a play clock running down, identified the zero blitz, maxed up the protection. So kept like basically instructed a few extra people who don't know, instructed a few extra guys to stay in the block, stood in there, took the hit and delivered the ball to Wicks all in whatever the span of 20 seconds. And then there was that touchdown pass to Luke Musgrave later in the game. Right. Remember that one, Rich?
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where he's wide open.
Yeah.
Did that look a lot like a play that they ran in week one? Remember where Musgrave kind of tripped over himself and didn't quite make it into the end zone?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was totally wide open. They hadn't run that play since week one. That was the last time. They had it called the play before, and Jordan didn't like the look. He checked out of it, and the result was a 27-yard run by Aaron Jones. Then LaFleur gives him a look. Jordan basically says to him, bring it again. And they bring it again and it's wide open. So I tell these stories because it's just like an awesome feel for the game for a kid who like was seen as so raw coming out, you know, and had such a long way to go and he needs to sit. I just think those are stories that it's like, God, did they do right by him, by bringing him along the way that they did? You know what I mean? And the best part is that everybody there loves him. They all like, I mean, another thing Matt said to me was like, you know, he went back to his notes before the draft and he's just like, one of the notes in there was like, this just seems like a really good dude. And I think that's reflected in the way that everyone in that building and on top of that, Aaron Rodgers are so actively rooting for the kid.
Mm. And then, you know, we'll put that graphic up if my crew doesn't mind me just throwing it up there of Love and CJ Stroud, their numbers were identical, yeah. Except for the fact that Stroud threw for two more passing yards than Love.
Insane.
It really is unbelievable.
The passer rating is the same. I didn't notice that. Wow.
Yeah. The completion percentage, touchdowns, interception, just Stroud got him by a couple yards. That's it. But he didn't need him. I mean, that thing was toast early second half because, if the Texans get two pick sixes with the way that Stroud is playing. So the question I have for you is did you, I mean, look, I obviously watched him play against Michigan and in a couple times, but is he better? He's better now, right? I mean, yeah. Obviously, I think, you didn't see this coming, did you?
Well, you watched the Georgia game.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, I can remember talking to scouts last, you know, March and April, as you always do, and kind of asking around. And what I got like almost uniformly was, God, if what we saw against Georgia was real. God, if that was the flips, if that was the switch flipping, you know? Uh-huh. And it was like, sometimes it's hard to tell, like when there's a single game like that, and it's like, you don't know. You just don't know if like it is like a kid turning a corner a certain way. I haven't had the chat. I wish I'd asked CJ about that when I talked with him the other night, but you know, like it does feel like that guy that you got on that night against Georgia, like something changed and like, this is who he is now. And I think it's like a willingness to run, a willingness to stand in there and take a hit, the intensity and speed with which he plays. It's all there. And I honestly thought like, there's like a play in that game where I was so wowed, and it was a nothing play, but it was Taki Taki, the linebacker from the Browns, came free on a rush and was running right at CJ Stroud. And it's one of those hits that like a defensive player dreams about, right? Like it's just, you're sizing him up and you've got a free shot at him. And like, he was right in CJ's like line of vision. So I can't imagine CJ could have really seen his receiver, but he stands in there, his eyes don't drop, and he just kind of floats the ball out to the flat to Xavier Hutchinson, takes the hit, and it gets them into third and three. They don't wind up converting, but it was like, for a kid to have that poise on that stage is really, really impressive. And, you know, one thing he said over and over again that's sort of interesting is that, like, you know, everybody knows his story with his dad and everything else. You know, he says that, you know, what he went through when he was younger really kind of prepared him for the big moments, because he never sees anything as too big. And, God, that game against the Ravens, that game next week, if it turns out to be against the Ravens, like we all think it will, that does not feel like a layup for Baltimore anymore. And how about this too, Rich? Think about this. Like, are there five teams right now in the NFL where you would trade their outlook for the next 10 years, or you would trade the Texans' outlook for the next 10 years for theirs? Like, can you imagine saying that a year ago?
No, I hear you, and you know, and that things are crazy in the NFL, because last year, obviously, the Chargers had a 27-7 lead at half, just like the Packers did in Dallas, and you know, the Packers didn't blow it like the Chargers did, and we were all sitting there, we'll trade the future for Jacksonville, and now it just changes, right? I mean, like, Houston's in it right now, and the Packers and the Texans, Love and Stroud, are the ones that it looks like have the opportunity to one and done the one seeds next week. And that is something that I didn't see coming, straight up. And on top of it, you may get Chiefs and Bills and Lions and Eagles, you know, or the Bucs. I kind of dig it. I enjoyed the weekend. And I guess the last one for you I have, Albert, and then I'll let you go to go to watch those games. Do you think Stroud and Love's success is going to push anybody up in the draft, that or the kids are already pushing themselves up? Because, by the way, it's 2:30 Eastern time. We still haven't heard from Caleb Williams yet. I'm assuming he's going to declare but before EOB here. What do you think?
That one's weird.
What's up? It's just like, let's go.
It's just, I mean, look, he's working with like an NFL quarterbacks coach right now. So I assume like that's to prepare for the draft, but I don't know.
What, are you going to go back to Lincoln Riley? Really? To go play Big Ten football?
He's doing all the things that a kid would be going. I mean, sitting out his bowl game, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
I think like one of the things with Love and Stroud, I just think like, when you like juxtapose it against, say, like a Mac Jones or somebody like that, physical ability still matters. You know what I mean? Like, and if you give a kid with physical ability who's got good makeup, the right coaching, you can really get him somewhere. And so, like, you know, Caleb Williams is outrageously talented, and I think like a pretty evolved player. And so I think he's good. You know, Drake May, you know, like you look at the kids who are, I mean, JJ McCarthy, where we don't know where his ceiling is just because Michigan didn't need him to be a superhero. Like, how much further can he take it? I think, you know, with both CJ and Jordan, you know, watching their success, what it should make you think is there's a lot of growth left if you can put a kid in the right situation. You know, like there's a lot of growth that can happen in the NFL. Different kids need different things. CJ was good playing right away. If Jordan Love had played in year one or year two, I think it would not have looked good.
Mm-hmm.
But the Packers had a good feel for what he needed, and they kind of kept nurturing him, and he got to learn behind Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, LaFleur said this to me, you know, a few months ago, like that he doesn't think any kid should play that early. You know what I mean? Like, he thinks almost 99% of quarterbacks should sit for 2 or 3 years, because what happens is they usually go to bad teams, and then they get thrown out there and their confidence gets crushed. And then, you know, with the speed of the game in the NFL, it's almost impossible to get your confidence back once it's gone. And so Jordan never had his confidence crushed because he wasn't in there fumbling all over himself when he wasn't ready. By the time he got out there, he was ready. And so I think that that's sort of the lesson I would take, you know, Rich, is that, you know, bet on a kid's makeup. Both CJ and Jordan are very likable kids, very smart kids. Bet on a kid's makeup, bet on his talent, and just know you can project a kid to be more than he is right now if you can create the right environment for him, which, you know, obviously D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio were able to do in Houston for CJ, and Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst were able to do for Jordan Love in Green Bay.
Awesome stuff, Albert. And then, you know, in terms of Stroud, I mean, he keeps it up. He might run down Mike Tomczak for best Ohio State quarterback in the history of the NFL, Albert. I think he's got him in his sights. Wow. Might run down Tomczak. You know what I mean?
But
good luck
that. Arch Leisure would have been pretty good. He just had some problems.
Chat with you, Albert. Great stuff. Thanks again. Everyone, check out the MMQB from Albert. It's must-read material. That stuff he told about Jordan Love just is the very first paragraph, and then it just gets deeper. Mm. Game time tickets. Get it on your phone. Get it on your mobile device. Get your tickets. And just two taps, you can buy tickets. And you not only can buy tickets, before you get them, you can see the view from your seat. Before you get them, you get all-in pricing. You get to see your entire pricing up front, so there are no surprises. Last-minute tickets, they've got last-minute deals. You could even get tickets after the event has started, on your way. How cool is that? Lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection. Take the guesswork straight out of buying tickets with GameTown. Download the app. Create an account. Use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account. Redeem code RICH for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed. Nothing like getting information from Albert and then jabbing him as he goes out the door. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi, guys. Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people, because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposedly going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
There you are, you're clapping. Hey,
yes, you're clapping. Oh, he's sweating. He's sweating. Wait a minute. Brow.
So he made it out of contestants, Rel?
Yes. Yes,
he made it out of contestants. I'm going to do a car! Yes! TJ can win a car!
Let's go!
This is amazing! All right, Master Key is the game. Master Key is the game.
Oh, my gosh.
This is going to take a while. Okay, here we go. Oh, popcorn machine.
Oh, I'll take that if you want that, TJ.
By the way, you've got to bring in this popcorn machine if you win it.
Yeah.
I want this popcorn.
Want
$41. You're $41. It's not a $71. $41. It's $41. That's one key. That's one key. Grab the key. Take the middle key. Take the middle key. There's five keys.
Yes.
He takes the middle key. No, he's not looking. He takes the second to the right key.
I didn't look.
Right.
Here's another key. Here's a basket. $584. That's a $58 basket. It's not an $84 basket.
No way.
What's in it?
You got to get what's in it, too. It's an $84 basket.
It's
an $84 basket.
Here's where I messed up. I listened to
That's an $84 basket.
I listened to the people.
Come on, TJ.
TJ.
$84. No, we won $58.
No! TJ!
Oh, he only has one key.
We need to find a friend.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, TJ. It's an $84 key.
Uh-oh. Master
Key. Right. Does it unlock the... Okay, it does not.
Coffee maker.
No coffee maker.
Coffee maker.
Okay, he's going to unlock the electric bike. No. Okay, all right. Does it unlock the car?
Oh, my God.
Does it unlock the car?
Let's go.
TJ. Does it unlock the car?
Does it unlock the
car? He's turning the key. No.
TJ.
Oh, boy. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by. Caleb Williams just declared, okay.
Oh, he did? Oh,
go back to your homes.
Gosh, I was like, you know
that. Ian Rappaport saying, Caleb Williams has made it official. He's joining the fray, the National Football League draft, and it is now on.
There you go.
The that is now on is, what do the Chicago Bears do? Number 13 in your USC program was dynamite. 2 years ago, the Heisman Trophy winner. This past year, not so much. Much made of what are his parents saying to teams. They want a piece of the action if you draft them. Rumors flying everywhere that they want a piece of the agency that signs their son to represent him. Professionally.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly, well,
they want to be.
But when you hear this stuff, if I'm the Chicago Bears, it's the first thing I ask him when I see him in Indianapolis. And then he gives you the answer and you're done with it.
Yep.
Because when I hear, his folks are a pain, you don't want any piece of that. And you know what I think of? I think of, does Charlotte have a problem with LaMelo right now, if he's healthy, right? How much of a pain in the ass is LeVar there? There's a lot of other problems with the franchise in terms of the, winning.
True.
But do you hear anything when he's healthy?
Nope.
Okay. And then you hear this too about, maybe he was crying on his mom's shoulder, and what sort of makeup is that? I hear all this stuff. You know what I think of? You're trying to throw me off the scent, are you? Whoever's saying that, why are you trying to throw me off the scent of what my eyes are? My eyes are not lying.
No.
Eyes don't
not one in the sky doesn't lie. So Yeah. It's, do you want him or do you want Justin Fields? What can you get for Fields? What can you get for flipping the number one overall pick to someone else? It's on officially for Chicago. And this year is a much more difficult equation than last year. Last year, in my opinion, even though we're watching Stroud ball out, I still thought at the time, flipping it, you need more pieces. You haven't figured out what you have in Justin Fields just yet. And they got him DJ Moore, and they got him, you know, one would think, an offensive scheme that was better. Now they've blown out the rest of their offensive staff. The question is, who are they bringing in? I'm as keen about that than I am the rest of who's the next head coach of fill in the blank. I mean, if I had to rank it, I'm like, where is Harbaugh going? Where is Belichick going to wind up? Then there's Vrabel, and right on par of where Vrabel's going is, who are the Bears going to hire offensively? If Tomlin jumps into this thing, then it's really on. But what are the Bears going to do? And who's going to take Justin Fields? And who's going to say to this kid, we're picking up your fifth-year option, then we're going to see what happens, and then you show what happens. Who's going to be that team to give draft assets or asset to Chicago? Well, it's now officially on now that Caleb Williams has made it official. Drake May's in the mix. Jaden Daniels in the mix. My guy who's 27-1 is in the mix. There's a lot in the mix. I cannot wait to get to Indianapolis. Daniel Jeremiah is first up on tomorrow's program to talk about Bills, Steelers, Eagles, Bucks, and this very subject matter. That'll be on Tuesday's show. Derek in Missouri has been hanging on forever and a day. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rex, first and foremost, congratulations to your Michigan Wolverines.
I appreciate
and to
it.
You, most of all.
All right, I'll take it.
And
thank you.
Just giving you a weather update here in Missouri. It's still cold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Yep. Okay, make a note of that, Mike.
That's curious.
But,
noted.
For your weather report.
Say, so other than what happened in the other games besides Houston and other than that, so I want to say Kansas City right now, yes, they won, sure. But they still got a tough road ahead of them, whoever they play next week, whether it's at home at Houston or they play on the road against Buffalo. And Dropinitis is still hitting Kansas City with Kelsey having a few drops here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But at Green Bay, all I can say is, wow, Jordan Love just surprised me. I mean, if I told you yesterday that he was going to be the first quarterback in Packers history to do something that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers did in their first full-time season as a starter and take the Packers to a playoff game and dismantle the Dallas Cowboys, who would have thunk it?
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. And, you know, Jordan Love got it done. Same with C.J. Stroud. I appreciate the call. And stay warm there in Kansas City. So we haven't discussed this. Kansas City found the light switch, and they started flipping it to see if it goes up. Everyone's wondering, did they flip a switch? They found a switch, I believe. Now, did they keep it on? Is it flipped on? They had problems in the red zone. If Miami had only been able to put one more touchdown on the board while they were settling for Harrison Butker field goals in the negative 20 degree feels like temperature, this thing would have been a little bit more tight. But Mahomes on a fourth down runs for a first down. He runs for a first down in the red zone that cracked his helmet. I mean, the Mahomes that is going to be difficult to put down on the ground, he's healthier, I would think, now than last year. Remember, it was all ankle watch last year?
Absolutely.
So we're checking that box. You're getting a better, more healthier Mahomes now than you had last year, and he's running for first downs like he's still 22. Rashee Rice is 100% the guy they needed to have come to the floor in the playoffs, and he showed up with a buck 30 with 8 catches and a score. And it looked like he got hurt at one point. He comes back in. Pacheco, check that box. Can he be the bell cow in the playoffs? Last year, remember, he was still just a young pup. Rashee Rice was in college. I'm concerned that Kelce dropped a couple, but he's still Travis freaking Kelce. And that defense 100% is championship quality. Karlaftis, add him to the mix. Nick Bolton is back. L'Jarius Sneed is getting in your face. And Andy Reid's mustache went from Reid to Lorax to full-on Brimley.
Lorax.
All right? It just kept going icier and icier and icier. So they looked at the elements and were like, yeah, okay, so what? We'll talk about the Dolphins another day. We're talking about the world champs making it to the divisional round. And I know Buffalo's like, bring them. Okay. Okay.
Be nice if you're the Bills to play them on your home turf in the playoffs
for a change. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Better than the other way around. But that was some of the better Kansas City Chiefs football play we've seen in a while. And it wasn't mistake-free,
right?
But it wasn't like, what's the matter with these guys at all? One last thing. We showed a photograph of Taylor Swift. I can't believe I have to say this. I'm just going to say it. I tweeted it out. And this isn't virtue signaling or anything stupid like that. What is the matter with people? The toxic masculinity that shows up in my Twitter timeline, my ex timeline, because she's having fun at a football game. I honestly don't understand it.
Because not everybody wants to see
what?
Six shots of her during the game.
No, I get it.
As opposed to what?
Like, you know, honestly. Like,
more mustache shots? I'm confused. Yes.
People are there for the football. Maybe.
But she's the most famous. She's literally one of the most famous people on planet Earth at a football game, seemingly enjoying herself. She's never going to be anonymous the rest of her life. What is she supposed to do? Just sit there in a corner and not support her boyfriend? And if they keep showing shots of her, you know, I understand, like, you know, like, let's see her after Kelce drops a pass. Really? I mean, what's the big deal? As a matter of fact, this is the greatest thing ever. There's a whole bunch of people that normally don't watch football games that are watching just to see her on the screen. Put her up there. So what? So you're like, oh, I got to be bothered. I got to be zeroed in on the zero coverage. You know, like I got to know more about the two deep safeties. You're taking away my football enjoyment just by showing a shot of her. I don't understand it.
I just want a Taylor cast.
No, you don't, Mike. I'm joking. Stop lying.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I don't get it. Just go on with your lives. They showed 15 shots of Jerry Jones. You got a problem with that?
He owns. Yeah, I don't understand the difference.
I don't. You know what I mean? Like, one is he's a football guy, and I want to see him look miserable. If you're a hater of the Cowboys, or you're,
you want to see,
you know, I don't get it. It's just like, what is it about her that it, you know, blaming her for any of the issues for Kelce or the team? It's just like, get over yourselves. Like, it's saying more about you than it is about her.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And I'm not looking for free tickets. Trust me.
I think your Twitter is going to reflect this afternoon.
Well, whatever. So what? It's already in there. I don't get it. You know.
Well, I think people will. I just have a feeling.
Whatever.
Those who feel that way will express themselves.
Well, karma's a boy in El Segundo. I'm referring to myself.
Hey, Rich, real quick, you mentioned L'Jarius Sneed earlier. Tyreek Hill on his Twitter posted the video of him getting jammed by Sneed, and his tweet was, "Jam my eye to Cancun." Like, he's just, I've never seen a receiver give someone props the way.
Well, but they're also, Cheetah, you know, I mean,
like, he's just like, Cheetah, hey, jam me all the way to Cancun.
I don't know. I mean, the Cheetah used to belong in that spot. Yeah. He's given props. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll be back with more on The Rich Eisen Show in a moment. Kudos to those in Western New York with the Buffalo Bills stadium operations and then the folks in the area who did this. Look at the field.
ready to go, baby.
Blue skies.
I mean,
you want to be able to sit in the stands. You can't find your seat.
I got it. Exactly.
But the field is
no,
clear.
No, I know. I mean, but the aisles are clear, look clear.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Oof. The aisles look clear. And, you know, I guess best they can do. I mean, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I don't know.
But the field is staying ready to go. Yeah. Okay.
Great. Looks good.
Good for them, man.
The total's shooting back up.
Huh?
The total's shooting back up.
Oh, is that what it is?
No.
Honestly, why can't the Steelers win this game after what you saw what the Packers did? I know. The whole idea is this team can't do it. This team can't do it. No way.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
Honestly, any, the last four games kind of showed you.
We're going to know what type of game it is kind of early if we get good Allen or bad Allen.
I think you're going to get good
Allen.
We're
going to find out right away.
Name me the last bad Allen good playoff game. Name me the one where he cost him.
I mean, I'd have to look, but I don't know.
Come on. Good he Allen. Certainly didn't cost him in Kansas City with the 13 seconds to go.
Nope.
Right? No. Who, honestly, by the way, Mike Hoskins would be getting in my ear right now and giving me other than just how much time till the radio audience returns, he'd tell me exactly what it was. It's not him. I don't think it's ever him.
No, he's been
just
awesome.
Weird circumstances. He's been terrific.
17 touchdowns, 4 picks in the playoffs.
Good Allen shows up in the postseason. It's just weird stuff also does too.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them win. The whole thing.
I think you're going to see him. Well, Buffalo, the whole thing, huh? Whole
he didn't play. Buffalo he didn't play good in Cincinnati 2 years ago, but I don't know.
Gotcha. AutoZone. Check out tonight's Monday Night Football game for free by streaming the NFL on Westwood One. Sponsored by AutoZone. You can check it out. Just tell Alexa, open Westwood One Sports, or on your Westwood One affiliate stations, digital platforms. Every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL playoffs is live on the NFL app as well. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and I will be part of Monday Night Football again tonight in Tampa for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. I'll be, however, here in Los Angeles. Those guys will be in Tampa. Let's go to Jeff in Detroit just chimed in. What's up, Jeff? Sorry to everyone else. Jeff just cuts the line. What do you got? Go for it.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You all right today?
I'm good. What's up, Jeff?
How you doing?
Nothing much. I came to visit my sister. As soon as I walked in, you guys went to me. But listen, as long as I've been calling your show, this has probably been the best weekend of football that I have ever experienced. Uncle Rich, the last time the Detroit Lions won in the playoffs,
yes,
I was in the 12th grade. My man, I'm 50 years old now. What a weekend. And the way that Green Bay dismantled Dallas after they cheated, beat it up. I'm loving it. Sorry, TJ, but yes, this has probably been one of the best. Only other thing I can think of is the Pistons winning the championship. That's the only other thing.
And Jeff, I bet you were a grown-ass man in the 12th grade like you are as a 50-year-old as well, right, Jeff?
Say that, Detroit.
Thank you.
Enjoy it, Jeff.
Kim in Louisville, Kentucky, just chimed in. Let's get Kim on here. What's up, Kim?
Not a lot, Rich. I just am just sitting around watching your show, and I had a problem with something that you said earlier.
What's that, Kim?
Regarding Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Okay. Like I said, I'm 69 years old.
Okay.
I've been a football fan all of my life.
Okay.
My favorite team is the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
I go back to days of Eller and Page and Marshall and Larson.
Okay.
I lived and died 4 Super Bowls with them.
Yes.
There are a lot of women out there that enjoyed football before Taylor Swift.
Right.
I watch the game to watch the game. If you want to show one picture of her at the game, fine. But every time he does anything, we have to go to the booth.
But
Gates is going to be there after Taylor Swift is gone.
But
my issue. She brought Swifties there. You think the Swifties are going to be there when her and Travis break up? No.
Well, Kim, first of all, Kim, how dare you? I believe
you,
in true love. Don't you believe in true love there in Louisville, Kim? Come on now. That's number one. In all seriousness, though, number two, it's not her fault.
I believe in football.
So then, don't blame it on her.
Blame
it on the broadcast that keeps showing her. What she's not supposed to show up because she's too famous and she's on TV too much.
Show up, but she's not the leader of a country. She's not doing something great for the world. She's a singer. If it was Beyonce, I'd feel the same way. It doesn't matter. I watch the game for the game. One or two shots of her, fine. But every commercial break, and then you got your announcers on the four-letter network you know, oh, she has to come to the game because he plays better. Hmm. People want to see the game. They don't want to see her.
Thank you, Kim.
That's
I appreciate
all I'm saying.
Appreciate you calling in. I hope your Vikings get back in the playoffs. And that's Kim in Louisville. All right, Jimmy in San Antonio. Last word. We got about an hour. We got about a minute. What's up, Jimmy? What do you got, Jimmy?
¿Cómo estás, hermanos?
What's up, Jimmy?
Hello, muchacho.
Sí. Oh, no bien. It's 32 degrees. The Cowboys were so bad. At 14 to nothing, I changed the channel to Dog Surfing World Championship.
Hey. That's actually good. I worked on that.
How did the dogs do?
Of course you did.
Rothstein the Bulldog is the Kelly Slater of dog.
Hey. I see that dog. Trans in Venice.
Good to know. Good to know.
Congratulations to Jeff in Detroit. Coach Campbell from Texas A&M got it done. And then you have Ray Jackson and Jimmy King, both from Texas, up and doing their Michigan thing. The first time I ever saw Michigan play was against A&M in 95 at the Alamo Bowl. Were you there, Rich?
I was not there, sir. I was not there, but I was there in spirit. You know, I was there in spirit in 95. Listen,
a deal about Cowboys coaching real quick.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've got about a minute. What do you got?
Bill, Tomlin, Vrabel, Harbaugh, neither of them are the answer. There is only one, and it's Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, God. Thank you, Jimmy. I think you need to lay off the hard stuff so early in the day. It's Jimmy in San Antonio.
By the way, Jimmy put on it was like he was in the locker room if you happened to catch him at halftime.
I know. He was hyped. He was like, and Irv was saying that the jinx of Jimmy, the curse of Jimmy was over.
Yeah, we thought so.
No. I guess it was more entertaining watching a Bulldog hang 10 than watch Green Bay hang 48. If I'm not mistaken. That's what Jimmy's message was right there.
I got to watch the Corleone family too, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's marvelous.
Oh, my goodness. What a wild weekend. And we'll hug it out again with everyone else tomorrow. Thanks to Albert Breer and Chris Long. We'll wrap up the show on Roku in a moment.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
I mean, I dig Jey Uso because he's born out of great storytelling and he lived up to the opportunity and exceeded it. The LA Knight, he's way up on my list because here's a guy that's been around for almost ever, should have probably quit a half a dozen times, and he just forced his way into their life. And now he's making money hand over fist. That is a story I love.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.